Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of A Dark Cup of Hister Tea.
Now, our other episode from this series was called In High Spirits. We did that for Halloween, and now that is our most listened to episode. So I'm guessing you, our listeners, are really into the spooky.
So twisted. I love it. Today is no exception. This episode should maybe go out as a warning to anyone who's thinking of jilting a lover. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned and all that.
And at the end of this episode, in our ridiculous death, we find out how one fella's death was a bit of a low blow.
Oh dear. Right, so what are we doing this week? Well, this week we're discussing the story of the Lady in Red. No, not the Christa Berg song. The ghost Lady in Red. So you've got your woman in white, you've got all your other different ghosts, but the Lady of Red is quite a common one, surprisingly.
Yeah, and we thought, as it's Valentine's Day weekend, that we would kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Encapsulate upon that with not an anti-Valentine's Day, because we're not anti-Valentine's Day, but we thought rather than our last Valentine's Day one, we have done St. Valentine. Mm-hmm. So we thought we would go more on to the spookier side.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is what happens when Valentine's goes wrong.
Yeah.
The story often starts when you've got a young, beautiful woman catching the eye of a man, or she finds herself wanting to enjoy sexual intimacy and strays away from her normal womanly duties because of it. Womanly duties being like pre-1950, you know, pre the bra burning stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thanks to her vanity or her indiscretion, the young woman is castigated or cursed and made to face death of or an eternal life as an undead being. Her punishment is often so disproportionate to the fates of the men who aided, abetted, or introduced her to these forbidden actions. Men will genuinely normally just disappear from the story completely.
Yeah, and it's quite sad in a way, because the woman's led astray by the man, or she just falls in love, as you do, and she gets the deep abiding punishment, and the man's just like, you know, he's a man, does what men do, boys will be boys. It's not fair.
Nope.
So the Lady in Red, or Red Lady, is a type of female ghost attributed to being a jilted lover, a prostitute killed in a fit of passion, or a woman of vanity, like vanity, passion, love, all being associated with the colour red. And they're often seen as a victim of objectification.
Yeah, this is similar to that of a lady in white, who you may have heard of. She's quite depicted in a lot of popular culture. I know that Supernatural, that Carrie and I watch, they had a whole episode on the woman in white. One of their very first ones was the woman in white. And but that's more jilting a lover on like a wedding day. That's when you get a woman in white, when she's been left at the altar. And then doesn't she normally go on to kill her children?
Yeah, it's basically like the man does something or strays away from the family, and either as a fit of madness or as a punishment to him, she kills the children, and that's what makes her, and then either and or kills herself, and that's what makes her a woman in white. And they are apparently some of the most dangerous types of ghosts, and there are some very, very famous ones, so hopefully we'll come back to that at another point.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of the spectrum, though, the Lady in Red, she's often typified as wearing like a scarlet or a blood red dress, or being surrounded like by a red aura. And she's typically supposed to be friendly at first, with a story attached to historic hotels, theatres, other public places, and higher frequency of reports from old mining communities due to the prostitution trade.
Yeah, and it does seem that every country around the globe has a tale of the Lady in Red. So because each tale is completely different and each story is different, we thought that we would give you a few examples of different tales of ladies in red from around the globe, which is quite fitting because we have people listening from around the globe. So maybe we'll have a story from where you're from.
Yeah, we'd love to hear. Like, contact us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram if you do have a story from a lady in red. But for now, pull that blanket up a little bit closer, grab your mug of hot cocoa, tea, whiskey, whatever you want, and make sure the lights are turned on. We're going to start in America.
We're going to start with an account of the lady in red that has been told by actors and guests at the Ghost Light Theatre in Amherst in New York. Now, the lady in red is known by actors and audience members as walking through the theatre. The ghost of a woman has appeared in a photo during a Christmas Carol rehearsal. Some people who have seen the ghost identified the woman in the photo as the lady in red. So not only is she like wandering around the theatre, she's getting into photographs.
Yeah, and she's been captured, she's been seen.
Yeah, and doors throughout the theatre do slam on a regular basis and phantom footprints are heard.
It's actually surprising how often theatres are haunted. Well, surprising, but also not surprising, considering all the emotion that's in there. But yeah, if you've ever been in a theatre late at night, it's really easy to like to picture someone else there with you, and it's quite spooky.
Yeah, and they have a ghost light. Like I say, it's called the Ghost Light Theatre. But most theatres have an actual ghost light that they leave on all of the time to bring the ghosts and the spirits back to the theatre.
Yeah,
so it's never in the dark.
Yeah, they give them the run of the stage and everything. So I'd love to be able to see them and just see what they were doing around the stage. That'd be cool. Just like Phantom Productions.
Yeah, I'd like to think they put on like little shows for other ghosts to come and see.
That would be so random. Spooky, but also random.
Whole new meaning to Phantom of the Opera.
Yep. Wow. On Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the Weckesser building is reportedly haunted by a lady in red that, according to one witness, appears real until she vanishes. That would kind of be a giveaway.
Yeah.
I've seen something vanish before and it's really unnerving. It really is. One of the largest and most grandiose buildings on the campus, Weckesser was built by Frederick J. Weckesser between 1914 and 1916, and has some of the most well-known haunts. According to the fall 2009 edition of the Wilkes magazine, a lady in red was actually spotted by a former employee. The story goes that the employee thought the lady was a real person until she turned her back and then turned back to find that the lady had vanished. So basically she turns away and turns back and the lady is gone. Just like every single movie trope that you see. They're there and then they're gone.
That'd creep me out.
Yeah. There have also been reports of lights moving around and coming from the first floor, which used to be where the president's office was located. And Lewis says this may have something to do with Wilkes' first president, Dr. Eugene Farley. People have apparently seen a glowing light going up and down the stairs. And their quote is that during his later years as Chancellor, Dr. Farley was unable to move around and would have to hoist himself to get up the stairs. So the light might be Dr. Farley going up to his meetings.
Oh.
So there is some evidence of the lady in red, but also potentially another ghost, Dr. Farley. I don't know what a doke is.
That's fine. We're now going over to Virginia. A lady in red has been reportedly haunting Wrexham Hall in Chesterfield, which was partially built around 1750. So it's quite old in comparison to America, because America itself isn't, I would say it's technically an old country as America, independent America.
Yes, as the United States, it's young. As America, like North America, South America, it's old. But as the United States, well, it's as old as the rest of the world, really. But the United States is quite young.
Yeah. So near the intersection of Iron Bridge and
Centralia, I think.
You put my teeth back in. Roads, Wrexham Hall is supposedly inhabited by this lady in red, who is believed to be the daughter of the property's original owner, and her name was Susanna Walthall. As recounted by someone named as Diane Hewitt, she wrote a book about it, and she put that Chesterfield, her book was called Chesterfield's County Chronicles. So she's kind of written a book on the history of it, And she said that the woman had been dressed in red while sitting on the porch of this historic home. Footsteps are sometimes heard at the home. Rocking chairs on the porch are said to move on their own. Now, that terrifies me. I think since watching The Woman in Black, I can't deal with rocking horses in horror movies or TV shows or anything like that, because you know they're going to move. You just know they're going to move.
There's been times when I've been in a hotel room and there's been a rocking chair in the corner, and I will literally, I will just either put something on it or I'll turn it to face the other way, because I'm like, nope, you are not sitting in that and watching me while I sleep. It ain't happening.
Yeah, 100%. Also in this place, doors suddenly open and close on their own, and cold gusts of air are often felt within the house.
That's quite common with ghosts, the whole cold gust of air, because the belief is that ghosts draw energy from the area around them, which is why you get like electromagnetic field spikes, and heat is energy, so they basically drain the heat energy out of the area around them that creates a cold spot. Science.
You know, if you're gonna have some skeptics when it comes to the afterlife, you do have to try and find scientific reasons to explain things, and so I totally think that's great. Personally. But Hewitt, who I said had written this book, has said that she had her own personal connection to the lady in red. While she was visiting the home for a banquet, she was left alone in a room and felt the ghost's presence. This is quoting from her. She said, "My skin started crawling. There was something going on in that room, and that was before I even knew about the lady in red. I discovered years later that that was her, that I was in the haunted room."
That's the only aspect of like haunting and ghosts I don't like, when your skin starts to prickle and you're like, nope. That's why I said nope. Not saying that you were wrong. I'm like, nope, not happening.
Oh, no, I get that.
Yeah, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, awful. Like, I absolutely would just be like, no, you can leave me alone now.
Yeah, it's like, bye-bye.
Yep.
Next one. There's those in America. In Charleston, South Carolina, near the Dock Street Theatre, there have been several appearances from a mysterious spirit dressed in a tattered but vibrant red dress that have been reported. The Lady in Red has a vivid story associated with her presence at the Dock Street Theatre, though. The historic French Quarter building, constructed in 1809, was America's first theatre, and before that it was the Planters Hotel. Nettie Dickerson lived in the Holy City during the 1800s. She was supposedly a frequent visitor to the hotel, though she wasn't an employee or a patron per se. She was a prostitute. She was an employee, but not technically on the books employee.
Yeah.
At the time, the hotel was a hotspot for wealthy Charleston men to congregate, and Nettie's legend claims that she was looking for love, but instead was thrown into a pattern of lust. At 25, she was an old maid, according to society at the time. Rude. And also out of her social class. After realising she wouldn't be accepted into high society, she settled for some romantic flings at Planters. A little bit of money on the side as well.
Why not?
It's the oldest trade. Yeah. It's also said that she was a clerk at St. Philip's Episcopal Church. Whoops. And would get many the side eye from some knowledgeable wives who knew her other profession. Didn't really stop her from visiting the hotel at night, though, and showing up at church on a Sunday morning. You can be a prostitute and still be religious. It's possible. I mean, look at Mary Magdalene.
Evidently.
She allegedly wore a bright red dress to the hotel on the night that she died. On that fateful evening, legend has it that she traversed out onto the balcony amid a storm and was struck by lightning. Shocking. Some more colourful additions to the story include the anecdote that she was yelling disparaging remarks about high society into the storm at the time that she was struck down.
So they're saying that she was shouting at rich people into the storm and she was struck by lightning.
Yeah, so don't argue against the rich people. The rich people rule this country. And just so you know, God is on our side, because she was yelling about us and it struck her down with lightning. Yeah.
Bless her.
Forgive me if I don't believe that particular bit.
No, but she kind of basically she encompasses everything that you kind of are told about a woman in red. She's the prostitute, she's lustful, she's lies, she strays, she's vain, she's everything that we're basically, that is, if you were to get like look in the dictionary for woman in red, I mean, I haven't done that, but I'm just saying, she would, that has everything, like tick boxes.
But also from a sad side of things, she was looking for someone to love her, and society kept her in her place, and her place was pretty much in the gutter as a prostitute.
Mm-hmm. And then, so that wasn't necessarily her fault, but now she's died, she's still remembered as that.
Yeah. Bless her.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to jump over to Chicago now. In Chicago's Drake Hotel, there is known of a jealous woman wearing a blood red dress that took her own life, jumping from the 10th floor or the roof. Accounts do vary. Either or, she did not survive this. Guests claim to see her in her last steps from the Gold Coast room, the Palm Court, and then onto the 10th floor.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's pretty extreme jealousy.
Yeah, but you hear it. I guess I say you hear it all the time, but it is depicted in quite a lot of movies and TV shows and stuff that when women are upset and jealous, they aren't within their right minds. And this woman jumped off a roof, and she can be seen going from where she stayed across the court to like the roof.
Poor thing. Although I imagine it would be really disconcerting if you're staying in the hotel and then you look out the window, you just see something just fly past your window going down, and you look out and there's nothing there.
Isn't that very similar to the Ghost of Shepherdstown that we watched in the bakery, and she saw things fall from the top of the ceiling?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. We'll discuss Shepherdstown later on. We'll continue with the lady in red.
In 1907, probably one of the most famous lady in red ghosts is at the Mizpah Hotel. And the Mizpah Hotel opened in 1907 as one of the first luxury hotels in Nevada. With a rich history and elaborate decor, it's best known for its legend of the lady in red. Whilst the date remains unclear, the story goes like this. A woman was murdered in her room on the 5th floor. Some say it was a jealous ex-boyfriend, whilst others say that the lady in red had been caught cheating by her husband and he killed her in a jealous rage. See, men can be jealous too.
They can.
Those who've stayed at the hotel say that the lady in red whispers in men's ears and leaves pearls from her broken necklace on guests' pillows. Guests can stay in the lady in red suite to experience it themselves, and if that's too much for you, the Red Lady Bloody Mary at the hotel restaurant should suffice. So, I mean, they are properly capitalising on it. Like, they can, you can stay in the room. They'll probably charge you a little bit extra for it, just in case you run out in the middle of the night. Or you could just have a drink.
Would you?
I would be intrigued to, but I don't know, like, if any man that I'd stay with would be willing to do it because of the idea of just a random disembodied voice whispering in your ear at night.
Go on.
I was going to say, I've stayed in haunted rooms before, and touch wood, nothing much has happened apart from a creepy feeling at the end of the bed and the bathroom door just randomly pinging open that I've known about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say you and I could, but you'd need a man to see whether or not she whispers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just shouldn't. We should just take a man. We should take Liam and Tobias. They're our friends who do another podcast totally different to ours. Theirs is really geeky, and it's called The Manic Podcast with two N's.
Two N's, very important.
Very important. I thought I'd give them a little plug. But anyway, we should take them and not tell them, because they don't listen to our podcast because they're mean friends. So we're talking about them.
And this will be the only one they listen to.
And they'll message us and be like, nope. We should take them and just be like, oh, let's come on this free trip with us.
Yeah, we're just randomly going to the Mizpah Hotel in Nevada.
For no reason whatsoever.
It's like we could stay in Las Vegas, but no, the Mizpah. We're going to this particular hotel. We're staying in this particular room, and you guys can have the bed. We'll just stay over here and watch in a non-freaky kind of a way.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they'll be up for that somehow.
I don't know. If we put it to them differently, it doesn't sound like we're going to murder them.
This is true.
It might be all right.
I'm sure we can send them down for a drink and, like, surreptitiously set up some sort of CCTV camera in there just to capture things.
Oh, this is Liam and Tobias. They wouldn't even notice if we did.
This is true. This is very true.
Anyway, we digress.
You are listening. We love you guys.
Yeah. We're still in America. There was loads in America. When I was researching this for this podcast, I literally chose probably, I wouldn't say the best 10, but the ones with the most information that I could get.
Yeah.
And that was out of like 50, 60, 70. So oh, yeah, wow. We're in Denver now, in okay. In Blake Street Vault. It's said to have a resident lady in red referred to as Lydia. She was a saloon girl from the 1860s. She allegedly is seen in the shadows of its basement and the sound of her high heels like clipping across its floorboards. Lydia is said to have been murdered by an enraged male patron of the saloon, while one story explains she was pushed by him down the staircase.
Oh, bless her.
Yeah. But yeah, you can kind of, high heels are quite a distinctive sound. So if you yeah. hear them, you know about it.
Incidentally, I've only ever heard of heels clicking. Like, you hear footsteps, you hear boots and everything from some male ghosts. I've only ever heard of heels clicking from Woman in Red ghosts.
Yeah.
Interestingly. I suppose it's like, you know, the whole prostitute, woman of the night sort of thing, wearing high yeah. heels. So, makes sense. So now, yeah. over to Ohio. Many people have reported seeing the ghost of a woman who appears to be wearing a red dress near the center court of the Sandusky Mill in Ohio. This specter is often seen facing the Alder Beerman store as if she's waiting for someone to come out of the store. Here's one of the sightings. The mother of a small child once reported that her son may have had an encounter with her because the child allegedly told his mom that he was speaking to a woman wearing a red dress whilst playing at the Kalahari Casper Off-Road Adventure play area. So he's in the play area and he's just talking to a woman in a red dress. There mm-hmm. is no woman in a red dress.
No. And another sighting at this mall was by an employee of the Cuffmans once had an encounter with what she believed to be this lady in red. While she was cleaning the fragrance display, this employee felt someone was standing behind her. At the time, she assumed that it was her relief because she needed a break. So she assumed it was a co-worker. But when she turned around, no one was there. She was then hit with a rush of cold air and pushed to the ground. So hers was more of a physical manifestation, as it were.
Rude. Imagine having a really tiring shift and you just want to go on a break and you turn around, there's nobody there, and all of a sudden, flump, you get pushed to the ground.
Rude. I mean, that happens to me most of the time, but I'm not pushed, I just fall.
Fair. This is true.
I am clumsy. Disclaimer, yes. I did slip on ice and fall underneath a van this afternoon, so I'm not kidding when I say I'm clumsy.
Thing is, when you sent me that message, I responded straight away asking if you were okay,
yeah,
but
yeah.
that was not genuinely my first reaction. I read it and just went,
yeah, no, it's bad. No, it's fine. I then said to you I was okay, so go ahead. And then the next yeah. message I had was just you laughing.
To be fair though, you'd laugh at me.
Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
Still staying in the mall, there have been reports that a woman's scream can occasionally be heard in front of Mastercuts in the mall at around midnight on some nights. According to the Ohio Exploration Society, this could possibly be the screams of the lady in red, or maybe some other ghostly woman haunting the mall. I mean, is Mastercuts like a hair salon? Because, you know, if I get why some women would scream if they had a really dodgy haircut. I get that.
Wow.
Sorry. Come on, out of the two of us, I'm the one that's had the dodgy haircut before, because you told me I look like a member of Hanson.
Oh my God, that was 10 years ago. You still remember that?
Yes, it still hurts.
Wow. Get over it.
It's awesome.
You're nice. Your hair's nice now.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's, it's just because at the time you had it like a sandy blonde, and you had it cut shoulder lengths, and you used to have your hair in a middle parting. You can't blame me for thinking you had hair like the guys from Hanson.
Yeah, and I was trying to grow out a fringe at the time, so I did kind of have curtains.
Thank you.
Yeah, I get it.
Thank you. Anyway, back to the mall.
Yep. Several night security guards have also reported encounters with this lady in red in the mall. One overnight security guard, who conveniently enough no longer works there, saw her whilst on duty one night. He assumed she was an intruder and he called the police. And according to a report by the Ohio Exploration Society, he allegedly hid behind a corner near Hot Topic whilst he called the police. Once he began speaking on the phone, the security guard claimed that the lady in red began approaching him. He attempted to back away, and then she suddenly disappeared into the closed Sonko store.
Nope.
Yep, so he's like, he's on the phone asking for help, and all of a sudden she turns and just starts walking towards him and then vanishes.
Absolutely.
No. Nope.
Still in the mall. I got a few from this mall because it's a big place. A mall is a big place. So if there's one lady in red that is kind of haunting the whole thing, it's good that there's been more than one sighting. There's been quite a few, such as this Sandusky police officer. He had an encounter with a paranormal entity that he believes may have been her. While he was sitting in the mall parking lot, he was completing some paperwork in his car. It was about 1:30 a.m. in the morning. The police officer noticed a strange red light appear at the mall's main entrance. After the officer,
what's an ossifer?
Oh dear. Oh, I'm sorry. After the officer approached the doors, the light disappeared. He then called the mall security guard who was on duty at the time. And he stated that he was on the other side of the mall building, which was a 10-minute walk from the main entrance.
Oh dear. I mean, there's quite a few different sightings, but the theory behind her, there's quite a few different theories to explain who she could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
One involves a series of murders committed by gangsters during the Prohibition era, as gangsters were wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
She says, just coming up to Valentine's Day. It's said that gangsters used the area around where the mall now stands at one time to commit a series of murders. And one of the murder's victims was a dancer at local speakeasy who was often called the Woman in Red. Some people believe that the ghost of this murdered dancer now haunts the area where she was murdered, which is now the Sandusky Mall. So that seems to tie in.
That does. And another theory claims that the lady in red is the ghost of a mall employee who was killed just as the mall was being finished and getting ready to open to the public for the first time in 1976. According to this theory, a tornado hit the mall, causing a wall to fall and kill the woman who was stocking one of the stores in preparation for the opening day.
They literally just finished it. They're about to open it and a tornado hit.
Yeah, and fell on a woman.
I mean, yeah. The sad woman died, but also very unlucky.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
But so, if you're going to build something on that site, that coastline of America, is tornadoes.
To be fair, yeah. Moving up the country, we're going to Canada now.
Oh, Canada.
Anyway, in Vancouver, there's said to be the spirit of a woman named Jenny Pearl Cox. See, this is why I like Canada. They name them. She's a socialite who died in a car accident in 1944 by the doors of the Fairmont Hotel in Vancouver.
Yep, they say that she was wearing red and she haunts the hotel. Maybe she doesn't know she's dead. If she's a socialite, she may have frequented the hotel.
She might have done, and if it was quite sudden, like in a car accident, she might not know.
Possibly. Now, over to the other side of Canada, we've got the First Ontario Concert Hall, which was informally known as Hamilton Place, because it's in Hamilton, Ontario. And it's said to be haunted by a woman in red, who also weeps red tears. So she cries red. That she has been reportedly seen by both staff and theatregoers at the concert hall.
I mean, a woman in red that vanishes and a ghost and everything is bad enough, but when they start crying blood, nope. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, you can leave. You can go away now.
Please vacate the immediate area. In Toronto. Toronto's Lower Bay transit station has been closed since 1966, but does still have numerous reports of a lady in red. According to witnesses, she actually appears distraught and glides without feet or eyes. That's a nope. Massive no. There's reports of people hearing a woman's voice singing at night, though no one can quite make out the song. And workers that claim to have seen her refuse to go back to work in the tunnel. I mean, if a ghost crying red is bad enough, a ghost without eyes or feet is just an absolute no. I would refuse to go back to work in the tunnel, to be fair.
Yeah, and gliding towards you, I'd be like, nah.
Yeah, gliding towards you, singing incoherently with no feet and no eyes. I'd just be like, laters. Bye.
100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
you would get my P45 so fast.
Right, we're now leaving America, North America completely, and we're coming home, Carrie. We're coming to the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland. So we're going to start off with a lady in red who is said to walk around the church of St. Nicholas in Pluckley in the UK, in England. And she's been there since the 12th century. See, our ghosts haunt graveyards because we like to be a cliche here in England, apparently. The ghost is said to be that of a beautiful Lady Deering who died in the 12th century. And she was buried in a sumptuous gown with a red rose in her hand. Now, she must have been quite prominent in this village because she was placed inside seven lead coffins, one inside of the other, which was then placed into an oak casket that was then buried in a vault underneath the church.
I mean, was she prestigious or did they just really, really not want her getting out?
Oh, maybe they were scared of her.
Seven lead coffins, all in like in each other, like a matryoshka, and then in an oak casket, in a vault, under the church, with like concrete and slabs and everything and the church on top.
Yep, and to this day she's known as the Red Lady and she's seen walking around the graveyard of said church.
Well, you say she's seen, there's actually it's known about her, she's common knowledge in the town, but there's no actual records of people having seen her, as in there's no written records. She's known to be there, people are like, oh yeah, there's a Red Lady there. But no one can actually tell you categorically who's seen her doing what.
See, that is a bit creepy in itself.
Yeah. So what happened to those people? Now, going over to Ireland, Lepp Castle, one of possibly the most haunted castles in the entirety of Europe. Terrifying place. It's claimed to be haunted by a red lady who holds a dagger.
Oh, it's fantastic. Reported.
Yep. Well, she's not there to hurt you. Because it's reported that she committed suicide after being captured and raped.
Oh.
So if she has a dagger, she's probably looking for revenge on the people who did that to her and caused her to commit suicide. But unfortunately, Lepp Castle is best part of 1,000 years old. So I don't think she's going to get that revenge, bless her.
No, but yeah, that is a very, very haunted place.
Yes, very much so. And then up to Glasgow in Scotland. On the historic site of Greenbank House in Glasgow, there's a lady in red that's said to haunt the garden with the phantom of a large dog.
As you do.
It's, well, you know what? You need a companion. It's man's best friend, ghost's best friend. An oasis of tranquility, the Greenbank Garden is deceptively both idyllic and mystical. And apparently it hosts several of Glasgow's most troublesome ghosts. And this wonderful garden turns quite sinister when the lady in red comes out of hiding in the dining room of the house. However, she's not alone. With her are the phantom large black dog and the spectre of a young girl skipping beside the burn, which is like the little water river run, who's believed to be the ghost of a local girl who's tragically killed in the courtyard in the early 20th century. So the girl, the little girl is quite a recent addition, but the woman and the big black dog are quite old. And that's concerning because phantom large black dogs are quite common in like your Scandinavian, Germanic and Celtic folklore. And they are not a good omen. 9 times out of 10, they are not a good omen.
Is that different to like a black shook?
Shook is actually the Danish word for it.
Oh.
Of what it is. They call it a she. Up there, it's a dog she, or you got a dog she or a cat she, and it's known in the Isle of Man as the Moddy Doo, or Moddy Doo. But there's folklore about black dogs all over the British Isles and Scandinavia.
Yeah, we have one down here in East Anglia, and we've talked about when COVID is over, going for a drive down where he is, Black Shook is known to have. But yeah, we're in a national lockdown here in the UK, so we're allowed to kind of like leave to go to work or get some shopping or go to the doctors. But I don't think saying, excuse me, going to drive down the Cromer Road to look at Black Shuck is going to qualify as essential travel.
No, and considering it's supposed to be an omen of death, it might end up with us being sectioned.
Yes, we'll just leave that one. We're going to do it for a cup of history, a dark cup of history podcast. We're doing it for you guys, things we do for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose if we're gonna go out, that's a good way to do it for our listeners.
Definitely. Yeah, but we're going to leave the UK now because they're the only ones I got for the UK. And we're going to hop on over to Asia. Now, when it comes to scary shit, Asia is up there with some of the ones. I'm thinking more like movies. You got The Grudge. The
original Ring. Yeah.
Even Battle Royale. Like,
yeah,
they know how to do scary.
Train to Busan.
And their ghosts are no obsection? Oh, my God, Emily.
Objection? What?
No.
Exception, that's the word.
Exception, that's the one I was looking for.
Did you hit your head when you slid under the van earlier?
Maybe. Or I'm just really scared at the prospect of ghosts in Asia, like real-life ones.
To be fair, like, their folklore is weird, so the ghosts are terrifying anyway.
Yeah.
So in Malacca, there's a lady in red that has been reported on the 9th floor of the 9-story apartments in Little India in Malacca. And the area is quite known for jumpers. So there's not much known about who this lady in red is, but she's been seen there. So it's safe to assume that she's a jumper. It's a Chinese belief that those who die violently would come back as angry lost souls and wander around aimlessly at the place where they first took their life. The same goes for the ghosts of the 9-story building. Residents who reside there have plenty of spooky encounters that would scare you for a lifetime. Figures and apparitions are often appearing among the apartment corridors and hallways. For example, a long-haired female in red is often sighted standing on the ledge of the balcony on the 9th floor.
So, yeah. Whether she's a lady in red, as in the jealous type, or whether she's just a lady ghost in red. But still, if it's going to scare me a lifetime, I will just let her be whoever she needs to be.
Yeah. But you do you.
Yeah, you do you. In Thailand, there is a story of a lady in red that is believed to be the spirit of somebody who drowned in the Bang Pakong River. Apologies if I pronounced that wrong. Anyone who's listened to our podcasts know I'm not good with words. So, yeah. Witnesses have claimed to see her while driving their cars across the bridge of the Bang Pakong River at night. That they see the lady in red basically drowned.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But it also, she probably looks not new, because that sounds, that's the wrong word.
Fresh?
But like, if you see, yeah, maybe. Like, if you see somebody, you're going to want, like, stop and call the police. Or how many crashes may have happened because they think they can see somebody in the river.
That's true, actually. Yeah. There's also one from the Philippines that I messaged you about when we first thought about this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember your response was absolutely fucking not. yeah, it's
sounds about right.
I can't remember exactly where in the Philippines, but there is a student complex. And there's supposedly the ghost of a lady in red there. And she's often characterised by the sound of her heels clicking. And there was a student that was in the toilet doing her business, as you do. And she heard some heels clicking and walking up. And then someone started pounding on the door of her cubicle.
Oh, and she told them, telling me this, that. Nope.
Yep. she told them to go away in Tagalog. And the pounding just got louder and louder and louder. So she looked down to see if she could see the shoes of who it was, see if she knew who it was. There was nothing there. She looked up, and peering down at her above the door was the angry face of a woman in red.
Nope.
Yeah. No shoes, no nothing on the floor, but it was pounding on the door and staring down at her. But nope. That would either make you pee faster or just make you dry up completely.
I mean, you're in a bathroom if you're going to shit yourself.
Yeah, to be fair.
I'm going to say it. I'll say it. Like,
practicalities.
No. Jeez.
I'm sorry, but you're trapped in that moment, but also no way would you want to leave that cubicle.
Nope. So, yeah, ladies in red are not to be messed with. They may not be as violent as women in white. But these women are, most of the time, they are quite scorned. They've been left. They've been treated badly. They've been forced to do things they don't want to do. Their circumstances have been forced. Yeah, they've been murdered. It's just that they're just angry women.
Yeah,
angry, and
acknowledge them and leave mm-hmm. them be.
And I have to, we have to say, 9 times out of 10, it is a woman who has been that they're because a man has done them wrong. A man has done them dirty.
Yep. So we can't necessarily get revenge in this life, but we'll be there in the next.
Like we said at the beginning, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Yep, that's very true.
And a woman, a dead woman without anything to lose.
Yeah, I mean, she's lost everything by that point. What more could she lose?
Exactly.
Yep. So, that was it for the woman in red. Lady in red. Red lady. Red woman.
Whatever you call her.
Yes. Yes. But as we say, if you've got any stories or any sightings, then please let us know through Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Yeah, just let us know.
Yes, we are. Our handles are pretty much at a cup of Hister Tea everywhere. Yeah. You can find us. Let us know, because we love this sort of stuff. As well as if there's any other topics you'd like us to talk about, either on Dark Cup of Hister Tea or our regular historical podcasts. Let us know, because we love having requests. So, yeah, get in touch.
Yep. Cool. So, now to our ridiculous death.
Yes. Now, this week's ridiculous death isn't really stupid in the way in which this person came to die. Normally, it's the manner of their death, which is quite ridiculous. This is more about how it's been portrayed since.
Yeah. This is about Félix François Faure, who was president of France from 1895 until his death on the 26th of February, 1899.
That's my bad. It's the 16th of February.
16.
My bad.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's my bad. On our
trusted
notes,
you.
We, on our notes you. That we have for the podcast, I wrote the date wrong. And the reason we've chosen it is because it's close to Valentine's Day, which is when this episode will come out. I'm sorry, Carrie.
That's okay. I love you, really.
Thank you.
Faure was a Parisian-born politician, and after working as a tanner in his younger years, he then became a member of the National Assembly. He became more prominent in French politics up until unexpectedly becoming president. I'm not entirely sure how you unexpectedly become president. It's like, surprise, you're president. And this is during the time when France's relations with Russia improved.
So he wasn't a bad president.
No, he did some good. However, his tenure has been tainted by his affairs. In 1897, he met a lady called Marguerite Steinheil, who subsequently became his mistress, as they do. And this scandalous, high-profile liaison has been the subject of many works of fiction, such as A President's Mistress, aired on Eurochannel, with Christiana Reale in Steinheil's role.
So it's that prolific that they've made a TV show about it, basically.
Yeah.
It's pretty hardcore.
The official story is that Faure died suddenly from apoplexy in the Elysee Palace on the 16th of February, 1899. So he just suddenly died. Apoplexy is quite suddenly. It's quick. It's over quickly. The thing is, he did it whilst he was engaged in sexual activities in his office with the 30-year-old Marguerite Steinheil. It has been widely reported that Félix Faure had his fatal seizure whilst Steinheil was fellating him.
Basically giving him a blowjob. Sex, as it were.
Yes, but the exact nature of their intercourse is unknown, and such reports may have stemmed from various puns and been made up afterwards by his political opponents.
Yeah, and this is where the ridiculous part of this comes from. They use his political opponents use this to all of their advantage.
Yeah. They made up puns about him and about her. And one such pun was a nickname for Mademoiselle Steinheil, which is Le Pompe Funèbre, which is French wordplay, because Pompe Funèbre means death care business. And Pompe Funèbre can also be translated literally as funeral pump.
I'm sorry. Wow.
George Clemenceau did an epitaph of Faure, and he was pretty similar. Il voulait être César, il ne fut que Pompée, which basically means he wished to be Caesar but ended up as Pompey, or he wished to be Caesar and ended up being blown. because the verb pomper in French is also slang for performing oral sex. So in one way, it's saying he wanted to be Caesar, ended up as Pompey, so not quite getting there. But also, he ended up being blown, so also not quite getting there. Clemenceau, who also was the editor of the newspaper Le Roi, wrote that upon entering the void, Fouret must have felt at home. After his death, some alleged extracts from his private journals dealing with French policy were published in the Paris press. So, yeah, he must have felt at home in the void.
Wow.
Awkward.
That's hilarious. I'm sorry. But a politician dying in that way was always going to be press. But the fact that his opponents made such, I'm going to say, incredible puns.
Yeah.
Like, it's sad. It is obviously sad that this person has died. But the puns are spectacular. I'd like to applaud them. I like puns. Wordplay is funny. And that just tops it all, really.
It's not just wordplay. It's wordplay in French. It's how it's translated as well. It's translational wordplay.
And they've thought about it, like the whole Pompey and Pomper, and exactly, like, it's just clever. I'm just just so clever. But also, imagine having, like, there has to be worse ways to go. Having Caesar in the midst of.
I mean, Christ. You know, going out on a high. But what about her?
Oh.
I mean, how long would it have taken her to realise?
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess it's, woman. If it's like the whole act, you'd know quite quickly, because movement would stop.
Yeah.
But if it's the other act with only one participant, really, one enjoying, one taking part.
Yeah, it's
I'm trying to be PC about it.
If it's a fellatio, she might not know.
Exactly. Oh, that rhymed.
No, it did. Yeah.
If it's fellatio, she might not know. Maybe that should be the name of the podcast. Now, I don't think many people would listen.
No.
Or they'd get a very wrong impression about what we podcast about.
Then we'd get Tobias and Liam listening.
Oh.
See, two mentions. You have to listen to us now, guys.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
That's
and on that note, I've just slapped my knee. I just did the whole right and slapping your leg thing like we do, like English people do. And I've genuinely just slapped my knee and it hurts.
Okay, while she's getting over that, we'll be back soon. We do, every time we do a podcast, we do say we want to do more and more of these. But life does get in the way. We have some very, very busy jobs in real life that take up a lot of time that COVID has made busier.
Yes.
So we do have another one researched, and I believe we're going to get onto that as soon as possible. That is not a dark cup. That is back to our regular scheduled programming.
Still pretty dark, though.
Yeah. It's history. It's horrible.
History, yeah. It's gory.
Mm-hmm. We have a talent. Right, we're going to go now. We wish you a very happy Valentine's Day.
Whatever we love
doing.
You.
Valentine's Day isn't just for your boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other. It is for anybody in your life who loves you. And the fact that you're listening to us right now makes me love you very, very much.
I love you too.
Thank you for the support. And we will speak with you.
Very soon.
Very soon. I was going to say next time.
We'll speak to you next time. Whenever that may be, we will speak to you next time. But hopefully it will be soon.
Okay. Take care now.
Bye.
Bye.